This is our day to shine. This is your day to be great. I want you to be great. In fact, Jesus wants you to be great. But he's defining greatness in a new way. We tend to think of greatness in terms of a certain kind of glory, and we all want it. I will show you my new ring. Pretty cool, eh? My friend Kent took me to the Dodger game last night. Usually, Dodgers being in L.A., everybody shows up in the third inning. But last night, everybody was there hours early because they were giving away a limited number of L.A. Dodger 2024 World Series rings. And this is not cardboard. This is really heavy. I told my friend Rick, who's a big Dodger fan today, I got a World Series ring. And he said, oh, I got one of the 2020 World Series rings. But Rick, yours doesn't have real diamonds in it. We want to be around winners. And so we like to wear things that say, I'm a winner. I've got a ladder right here behind me. Because when we think about greatness, often a metaphor that will be used is that we want to climb a ladder of success. But now, one of the big problems with the ladder of success is it has no top rung. And I know, because I have spent my life wrestling with just this addictive desire to want to climb it and climb it and climb it and climb it. And there's always somebody up higher. There's always another rung to go. It's never enough. And so our friend Jesus, who wants us to shine in this world, came to give us another definition of greatness. Very holy ground today. We come to a section in Paul's letter to the church at Philippi that is extremely poetic because of its rhythmic nature. New Testament scholars for a long time have said Paul here is actually using a hymn. It was either composed by him or composed by somebody else earlier on. It is some of the oldest words in the New Testament, and it reflects on the beauty and the unbelievable world-reversing nature of Jesus. You know, it's very important the way that we think about God, the way that we live our lives is deeply connected to the way that we really think about God, what we really believe about him. And Jesus came to correct our distorted thoughts about God. And this is an understanding of the Christ hymn that I received from Jerry Hawthorne in his wonderful commentary on it that I want to walk us through in the moments that remain. In your relationships with one another, Paul wrote, Jerry would say, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, uses the word morphe, like morphing, and it has to do with just the essential reality of something's being, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature, uses the same word there, of a servant, being made in human likeness. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Now, to explore the beauty of this passage, I want to walk through a bit of grammar here that Jerry walked us through, and I must take this ridiculous ring off to walk with Jesus through this. So here's the grammar piece. It'll take a minute, but it is profoundly worth it. Paul says, being in nature God, there are verbs that have ing in them. You might remember they're called participles, and they can function as nouns, walking, running, speaking, so on. And sometimes in the Greek language, how we interpret one of these participles will depend on the circumstances in which we find it. So they're called circumstantial participles. And we can add words to help us understand how to translate them. They might be concessive, and then we would say although, or they might be causal, and we'd say because, or they might be temporal and say while, or they might be conditional. We'd say if, by means of, in order to, in this way. It depends on the context of the circumstances. So for instance, you can have this statements. If I'm the subject here, I am speaking, many slept. And this might be while I was speaking, many slept. Or My wife, who sometimes thinks I speak too long, might say, because I was speaking, many slept, and it'd be causal. Or this one, being nice, the officer gave me a ticket, and it might be concessive here. Although I was being nice, officer, you look very handsome in that uniform. Officer, I'm so grateful for how polite you are. Officer, you know, I'm a pastor. Although I was being very nice, the officer still gave me a ticket anyway. Might translate it that way. Another one. Appeasing Nancy, I complimented her sweatpants and loafers. That's never been my favorite outfit of hers, but maybe I want to make her be in a good mood or get off the hook for something. So this might be by means of appeasing Nancy. I complimented her sweatpants and loafers. Okay, so those are some examples here. Now we come to this statement from Philippians, and this verb being, huparkon, is the participle here. Being in very nature God, Jesus did not consider equality with God something to be used for his own advantage. Didn't consider it grounds for grasping. Jesus didn't think about being God in that way, Jerry says. But the question is, how should we translate that little verb being? Now, often people think of it as a adversative, although being in very nature God, because of course, being God means you're in charge of everything, you're running the whole show, and so nobody wants to be a servant. And so in spite of the fact that Jesus is God, we might think, Paul says, that he became a servant. And in fact, in some translations, the New American Standard Bible, although it's a very literal translation generally, here it supplies that although he was God. The Revised Standard Version, the same thing, although he was God. But Jerry says, if you look closely at this Christ hymn, if you look at what it is saying about who God is in his very nature, that he pours himself out. He takes on the very nature of a servant. He humbles himself. Jesus did not do those things in spite of the fact that he was God, Jerry said. Jesus did those things precisely because he was in very nature God, because it is the very nature of God to serve. It is the very nature of God to pour himself out in self-giving love. That's who God is. In Greek mythology, it was not so. The way that we think we would do things if we were God, then it would be a concessive. Maybe I might for a moment interrupt my godness and become a servant. There are stories in Greek mythology about Zeus and Hermes coming to earth to a humble little cottage, and they disguise themselves as servants, as the poor, as beggars. But then the moment comes when they throw off their tattered little robes and reveal themselves in all their splendor with their beautiful gold rings. Paul is saying, when Jesus came as a servant, he was not disguising who God is. He was revealing who God is. He did not consider equality with God to be grounds for snatching or grasping or acquisitiveness. Because our kingdoms are messed up. A two-year-old's first favorite word is no, and their second is mine. I want. Jesus did not think about what it means to be God in that way. When it says that he made himself nothing, or he poured himself out, he emptied himself. There were long debates, have been long debates amongst folks who study the New Testament about what does it mean when it says Jesus emptied himself? What did he get rid of? And because the Greek word kenao is used, they're the kenotic theory. Big debates about, was it his glory that he gave up? Was it his omniscience that he poured? What? And Jerry says, no, it is no particular thing or item. He just poured himself out. I will watch you, John, or watch you, Sam, as you pour yourself out for a spouse when they're in a situation where they have become desperately needy for you. And it's not just this action or that action or this moment. It's your heart. And Jesus did that. And so this is a story of the ladder of success. Only Jesus is coming down the ladder, see? nature God. You don't get any higher than that. But his understanding of that is not grounds for grasping. Poured himself out, bearing nature of a servant. He humbled himself. That's not lowly enough. He became obedient to death, even death on a cross. See, the other problem with the ladder of success is that when I'm climbing up that ladder, I'm likely to go right past Jesus, who is on his way down. So that's it from our friend Jerry and our friend Paul and our friend Jesus. Now, it is the nature of God to serve. Jesus came not to disguise, but to reveal. He is a servant, not in spite of the fact that he is God, but precisely, who else would think of this? This is a revolution in humanity. Plato said nobody can be happy when they are a slave. Aristotle said some human beings are just fitted by nature to be slaves and others to rule over them. And Jesus, who is God, says, no, I will be a servant. Jesus, and then you be like him. You and I be like him. Let us have the same mindset in our relationships that our friend, our God, our servant Jesus had. So God, help me to do that today. Help us to do that today. Oh, how our world needs a church that will do that. At home, at work, sitting in your car, walking into a store, anybody that you happen to see, when you're online, when you're... How can I pour myself out for you? How can I give myself to you? I say those words to you and get all choked up because I think of how deep their meaning goes. But I know very well when I shut off the camera and go out that door, everything inside me is going to say, no, no, no. I want to put this back on. I want to climb up there. So I'm talking mostly to me. Maybe to you too. How we love this man. How he changed the world. Jesus Christ. Who precisely because he was in very nature of God did not consider equality with God to be grounds for grasping, but poured himself out, became a servant, humbled himself, became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Man, that's shining. Of course, that's not the end of the journey, but that's the first part. This is our day to shine.
Hey, I'm Tim. Welcome to Become New. I just took that video from John in, just like you did, and that really hit home for me. I don't know about you, but I've struggled in my life, sincerely, with a deep desire to be great, to be considered important. Not just important in the healthy sense, like, Tim, you're valued and loved by God, but in an unhealthy way. Like, I want to be more important. And the people around me, I want to serve in more significant things than others. And actually, Become New has been kind of at the center of a journey for me, which extracted painfully that deep desire to a place where I can really and honestly focus on the meaning in my life, the people that I love, serving without caring about recognition. So I just loved how John talked about that Jesus flips the whole scale on greatness. And I'd heard that before in my life, but I never really knew it deep in my bones until this journey that really started with Become New. So I'm curious to hear about your takeaways from this video. If you don't know Become New, we send out 10-minute teachings every weekday to help people grow in character and in their spiritual journey with God. So we hope that you subscribe to this channel or that you sign up to get the emails. You may not know this, but we send out an email every day with the content that has the books that John referenced and the summary of the content. So you can check that out at our website, becomenew.com. But overall, we're just glad that you're here and we hope that you keep showing up so that you can grow spiritually one day at a time. We'll see you next time.